Blog Talk Radio.
Come to the fourth deadly sin, which is love. Now, here's an interesting feature in Dante. Dante writes the Divine Comedy. You have the first third is the Inferno, the journey to hell. Second third is the Purgatorio, and then the last is the Paradiso, heaven. We are now halfway up the Mount of Purgatory, which means we're at the very center of the entire. Is slow. Thomas Aquinas calls it sorrow in regard to depressed. I can't muster any energy. The medievals called slow the noonday devil. That's part of what they meant. How do you feel at noonday? It's a hot day. You have the snow. You feel like a man. Slow is lethargy for spiritual things. Mary's mild are these huge thick walls that protect them. How will the kids play? Well, they'll play with a reckless abandon. They'll play the way kids play football. They'll just be running and throwing and enthusiastically engaged in the game. Why? Because they know the walls are in place that protect them from the abyss. Now, along comes the revolutionary, Chesterton says. Tear down these walls. Who wants to limit the freedom of these kids? Knock down the walls. Let them play any way they want. Now what happens? Here they sit, afraid, in the middle of this wedge, afraid to throw, afraid to run, afraid to move. The walls have been knocked down. Sloth can come from the knocking down of the truth, moral, intellectual, spiritual. And it leaves me kind of afraid, unable to move. What's the response? What's the antidote? The antidote to sloth is zeal for the mission. In the Bible, nobody is ever given an experience of God without being sent. Moses sees the burning bush. He hears the voice. Now, Moses, I got a job for you. Go. Liberate my people. Peter, Lord, lead me. No, now I got a mission for you. Saul, knock to the ground. Lord, who are you? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now go, become the apostle of the Gentiles. Nobody in the Bible is ever given a sense of God without being given a mission. You, right now, are being loved into existence at the root of your being. That should relax you to the point where you can say, okay, Lord, here I am. Send me. Lord, here I am. Let me do your will. That's the biblical perspective. That's the zeal for the mission that overcomes sloth. Practical advice. What's your work hard at discerning your mission. What's your prayer life all about? What's your spiritual life all about? One way to name it, it's about finding your mission. Oh, I pray, but I kind of get lost in praying. I get distracted. I'm not very good at it. Ask for your mission. You won't get distracted. Trust me. When you pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm ready. Where do you want me to go? Ask, and then be ready to get the answer. Secondary cause. Read the scripture. With this, not just kind of vaguely, I'm reading the scripture. No, read it with this urgent question. Lord, what do you want me to do? With this question in mind, I need to find my mission. Focus your life on the Eucharist and ask that question stubbornly. Listen to the people of God. They'll tell you. They'll tell you what your mission is. They'll know. If you're attentive. Read that, by the way, all the lives of the saints. Is someone kind of wrestling until he or she finds the work? And then, boom,
was like lighting a fire under the zeal.
How do you focus this even more?
I love the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Dorothy Day, founder of the Catholic Worker Movement, says, everything a baptized person does every day should be directly or indirectly related to the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Boy, is that concrete. Does that focus your life? Let me mention just a couple of them to you. Give food to the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Give shelter to the homeless. Visit the imprisoned. Care for the sick. Clothe the naked. Bury the dead. Those are the seven corporal works of mercy. Can I suggest this to you? You're looking for your mission. Lord, what do you want me to do? Practice each of these now on a regular basis. And chances are you'll find out. Food to the hungry. Make dinner for somebody. Make cookies. Bring them to the nursing home. Invite someone to dinner that you think maybe is lonely and isolated. Give shelter to the homeless. Go work in a homeless shelter sometime. Volunteer maybe once a week, once a month. Work in a homeless shelter. See what happens to you spiritually when you do that. I love now, visit the imprisoned. Johnny Cash, a great character, not just as a singer, but a great character too in many ways. But they asked Johnny Cash, how come you sing in prisons all the time? He said, first of all, they're a great audience. Secondly, he said, because I'm a Christian. That's a great answer. Period. It need no further elaboration. Because Jesus said so. Go visit the imprisoned. So he did. You go visit them. See what happens. Care for the sick. You all know someone who's sick in your family, in your block, maybe in the nursing home, at the hospital. Go visit them. Do that on a regular basis. Here's some of the spiritual works of mercy. Pray for the living and the dead. You have two shirts in your closet, one belongs. Instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, admonish sinners, bear patiently the troublesome, comfort the afflicted. Forgive offenses. Forgive, that's a spiritual work of mercy. But try some other one. You know, I'm going to pray for the living and the dead. I love parishes that have teams of prayers. Some of the elderly, some of the homebound, that's what they can do to help the mission of the parish. Pray every day. Instruct the ignorant. Volunteer at the school. Volunteer in religious education. All kinds of ways you could do that. How about admonish sinners? Well, that's a hard one, isn't it? There's a sinner somewhere around that needs warning. Admonish, warn the sinner. Difficult work? Absolutely. Necessary in the body of Christ? Yeah. Read the gospel. You know, your brother's doing something wrong? Go, tell him. Doesn't listen to you? Bring another one along. The two of you talk to him. Still didn't listen? Now bring the whole church. How about this one? Bear patiently the troublesome. A lot of troublesome people, you know what I mean? Someone just kind of boring, someone hard to be with. Spend time with them. Difficult? Yes, they're all difficult. But, you know, maybe that's part of your mission. Part of your mission is to care for people who are just kind of troublesome and boring and difficult to be with. Spend time with them. Comfort the afflicted. We're all afflicted, aren't we? All of us in some way. Find someone who's really afflicted. Go comfort that person. If you do this on a regular basis, practice the corporal and spiritual works, you will find your mission. And God will reveal to you what it is you're supposed to do. It'll look like one of these in some way. Go find it. And then you have your zeal for the mission. I love Dante's Marian counterexample here for sloth. You know what the sloth are made to do on Mount Purgatory? It's like a gym. They're made to run. It's like a treadmill. They have to run, you know, because they were slothful. And as they run, they hear this quote from Luke's gospel. She proceeded in haste. She proceeded in haste. Remember after the Annunciation? Mary's got her mission. Be it done to me according to your word. And now up she goes. She proceeded in haste into the hill country to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She knew what to do and she did it. That's zeal for the mission. And that comes from this strong sense of doing God's will. Now we're reaching the top part of the mountain. The last three of the deadly sins. Now mind you, these are the least deadly. We're getting lighter as we go. The next one is avarice. Avarice. greed. Here's Thomas Aquinas' description. Avarice is the unreasonable or immoderate desire for riches. The unreasonable or immoderate desire for riches. Now,
is there a legitimate use of wealth?
Sure.
Read here the 100 years. Private property is good.
Well, I have an economic freedom, and that's expressed in private property. Nothing wrong with that. More to it, the popes say the entrepreneurial spirit is a good thing. It's bad when the state kind of imposes itself so strongly on the economy that there's no creativity, no real energy. Speaking of profit. Profits are an indication that a company's doing well. Even excessive profits, the popes say, are a signal to other entrepreneurs to get into that area. Well, the popes speak very kind of frankly and positively about wealth. Okay, so what's avarice? An unreasonable or immoderate desire for riches. Okay, what makes it unreasonable or immoderate? Go back to the church's social teaching. All the popes of the 20th century cite Thomas Aquinas, who said this. Yes, private ownership is legitimate. But when it comes to the use of your private property, you must always have the common good uppermost in mind. Let that little formula sink in. Private ownership, fine. Private property, no problem with it. But, what do you do with your private property? How do you use your private property, including your wealth? You must always have uppermost in your mind the common good. What's the ground for this? Creation. God made all things for the common use. Are you allowed to be a steward of some of them? Yeah, sure, a steward. You can own them. But to use them, what's the common good? You have two shirts in your closet. One belongs to you. The other belongs to the man who has no shirt. Let that one sink in. Here's Pope Leo XIII, the founder of the modern social teaching tradition, who says, once the demand of necessity and propriety has been met, your basic needs are taken care of, and even you've got an appropriate life. Propriety has been met. Once that's been met, the rest belongs to the poor. Let that one sink into your heart as a little bit of spiritual challenge. Do I have what I need? Yeah. And do I have a, decent life? Yeah, okay. Now the rest belongs to... What's avarice? This immoderate, unreasonable love for riches. One that prevents you from seeing the common good. One that prevents you from giving generously to the poor. One that prevents you from seeing, listen, that your wealth was given to you by God for God's purpose. You know what comes to mind here? The prodigal son. Father, give me my share of the inheritance coming to me. Could he have been more insulting to his father? Especially in the society of the time. You'd inherit the money when your father died. The prodigal son was saying, hurry up and die. Or I can't even wait for you to die. Give it to me now. Give me my share coming to me. Three times. Me. What happens? He wanders off, the Bible says, into the far country. But the Greek phrase, it means the big empty space. The kora makra, the big emptiness. That's where he goes. He squandered the money quickly.